This is the National Finance Committee meeting for the Pacifica National Board for April 13th, 2021. My name is James Sagerton. I'm the chair of the National Finance Committee, and we believe we have a quorum. I'm going to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to take the roll.
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams. Oh, she's going to be a little late. Teresa J. Allen. Nicarina?
Yes.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt? R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Simmons.
Here.
Okay, that's eight. That is a quorum.
Thank
you,
Allen
R. Paul.
Teresa Allen is here.
Thank you, Teresa. Appreciate it.
And Julie Hewitt is here.
Very good. Anyone else? Thank you all. Okay, now we're going to move to the agenda, and I will read the proposed draft agenda. And it goes as such. Convene the meeting at 8:30, roll call, adopt agenda is number 3, chair's announcements is number 4. This will be 5 minutes, including a statement from Pacifica National Board Chair Alex Steinberg. Number 5 will be minutes approval for 2 minutes. Number 6 is review of the PFA fiscal year 2021 draft budget. Mark Torres, director, presenting for 45 minutes. Then we have number 7, monetizing the PRA PPP analysis. Lyndon Foley for 15 minutes. And Mark, I hope you'll join us for that discussion. Then we have number 8, We have number 8, the ICFO report, including the February financials for 30 minutes. Number 9 is reports from the stations on the budget timeline progress from KPFK and KPFT for 15 minutes. Number 10 is new business. Number 11, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any discussion of the agenda?
And is the chair
Thank you. I'll move to approve this agenda.
Is there any
discussion?
Yes,
R. Paul.
Okay, I move to amend it by adding set future meeting dates for 5 minutes and put that right after minutes approval.
Yes, I was meaning to ask you about that, and this is very timely, so let's do that. And again, you'd rather renumber everything than make that 5A, is that correct?
Yeah, that's easy to do.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so everything. Go ahead. Teresa, let me just. Okay, R. Paul made a motion, so now I'm going to ask for discussion. Teresa, do you have anything on R. Paul's motion?
No.
Okay, why don't we see. Do you have anything else? Is there anyone who has any other discussion on R. Paul's motion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, let's consider that done. And then, Teresa?
Yes, I have a question. You say reports from stations on budget timeline progress. Have you received our business manager has assured our finance committee that she sent the budget to the interim executive director, Lydia Brazon. Have you received this from the interim executive director, the budget from
Teresa, I don't mean to dissuade you from this discussion, but I'm going to ask, could you hold it until we reach that item? Because I don't think we're supposed to discuss the items now, just whether or not they should be on the agenda, and that would be a good time to bring that up. And I will briefly answer your question. No, not to my knowledge. I have not received that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, let's go ahead. Next is Chair's announcements. I'm going to read the announcements. It's going to take a moment or two, and then we will go to an additional Chair's announcement from Alex Steinberg, Chair of the Pacifica National Board. So tonight we will review the Pacifica Radio Archives PRA draft budget, Director Mark Torres presenting, and the February 2021 financials. The Chair of the Pacifica National Board, Alex Steinberg, will join us for an announcement. An 18-month extension of the FJC loan has been negotiated by our corporate counsel, Arthur Schwartz, and our interim executive director, Lydia Brazon, with assistance from our ICFO, Anita Sims, and her NETA staff. Only two material loans of terms of the loan were changed. The critical one was the 18-month extension. The lender also added to the terms of the loan that Pacifica should follow its own policy established by a February 6, 2020 PNB resolution dedicating quote-unquote windfall income, meaning major donations, grants, and bequests, to loan repayment, 50% from the national office windfalls and 30% from station windfalls. The original amount of the loan was $3.2 million. We paid $100,000 of the principal down, with bequest income leaving a current balance of $3.1 million. There will be some legal fees for drawing up the new loan payments. These fees will be minor in the big picture. We are and have been current on loan payments, which is one of the reasons the 18-month extension was offered to us. The interest payments, $50,000 per quarter, are made by the national office, which is why some were less aware of them. They come from the national office, national office income, central services, bequests, grants, side carrier payments, etc., which is why they are not budgeted for by the stations. The loan extension is under the same terms as the original loan. No restructuring has been demanded or granted by the lender. Their expressed policy is to require the same interest rate on all their loans to all their borrowers. In fact, the lender has expressed a positive opinion about Pacifica, having received a favorable opinion from our auditor based on the fact that we've made timely payments, among other things. There will be an official Pacifica press conference, press release on this matter coming shortly. There are no more new announcements, but for the benefit of our new members and the stream, I'm going to read some of our old announcements. And one is, the following resolution was passed by the PNB at the October 29th, 2020 PNB meeting. The following resolution, here's the language, the following resolution was passed by the PNB at the October 29th, 2020 PNB meeting. The PNB requests that the LSB submit a proposed draft fiscal year 2021 budget within 2 weeks to the NFC. If a budget is not submitted within 2 weeks, the NFC will begin to create a budget for the stations based on available financial data. The monthly financials and other significant materials are simultaneously copied to the NFC, the IED, the PNB officers, and the GMs. Please review them before NFC meetings and be ready to discuss and ask questions if you wish. And I'm just going to take a moment to add that I'm considering us on notice if items are sent on the NFC list, that those are items that we should have read and be prepared to discuss at the upcoming meetings. Okay, and next to last, we have on the June 11th, 2020 meeting of the PNB, a resolution was adopted that directed, among other things, that, quote, all units excepting the national office should provide a plan within 1 week to the NFC, the PNB, and the IED that balances expenses and revenues. If the units in the preceding 6 months have had expenses that exceeded revenues, that is, if a station's expenses are exceeding its income by 10%, the plan would show an expense decrease of 10%, unquote. Treasurers are requested to remind their respective general managers of the need to submit those plans immediately. And finally, reports from the stations on the progress of their budget processes will be a regular item on the agenda until budgets are complete, unless there is an objection. those are the chair's announcements. Alex, do you have something you'd like to share with the committee?
Well, Jim, you've kind of stolen all my thunder. I thought I was going to make the announcement about the loan.
The official amendments, for the minutes, rather, and I apologize if I did that.
But, you know, you get a pretty nice summary. And first of all, I want to really congratulate the Finance Committee on the work that they've done this year. It's really been stellar. And one of the positive things we can point to, and that helped us in the negotiations with FJC, was that we have prepared budgets this year. And, you know, that may sound like a very routine thing, but it's something that we hadn't been able to do for several years. And the fact that this Finance Committee stepped up and actually made that happen is just terrific. So let me, what I can do is go over a few of the details behind the loan negotiations. We are sending out a press release that will be published tomorrow morning. I might perhaps read a little bit of it, not the whole thing. It's much too long. Okay. On Thursday, April 1st, 2021, the Pacifica National Board reached an agreement with the FJC Foundation, the provider of a $3.1 million loan, to extend the maturity date of the loan for 18 months. The extension of the loan agreement gives Pacifica the time required to continue the process of financial and operational reforms that so far proved effective in restoring financial and organizational stability. The agreement was reached following a review of Pacifica's improved financial situation. My hats go off to the chief negotiators of this agreement, and that would be our Pacifica's legal counsel, Arthur Schwartz, and Pacifica's interim executive director, Lydia Brazone, with a magnificent backup from our interim CFO, Anita Sims. One of the main points that convinced FJC that we're on the right track was a report we received from our auditor, and I can quote you a couple of lines from that report. He wrote to FJC, "The Pacifica National Board and management of the foundation has implemented various financial policies and directives which appear to have, or the potential to have, positive impacts to the foundation's financial condition." And among some of the positive actions he mentioned, I'm not going to read them all, but the fact that we've implemented some much needed reductions at our Los Angeles station, KPFK. It's not something we were happy to do, but KPFK ran a $700,000 deficit last year. And I don't know the exact figures for this year, but they were still running a deficit this year. He also noted that Pacifica management, working closely with the Pacifica National Board, is productively negotiating contractual changes with the union at KPFK, SAG-AFTRA, that are expected to provide long-term structural benefits for Pacifica's bottom line. And in the words of the auditor, and I quote the auditor again, "The foundation's proposed changes to the labor contract are expected to result in its solvency while maintaining its commitment to labor rights." He also noted that key to the successful negotiations was that we hired a law firm that specialized in those kind of negotiations. We also reached agreement with SAG-AFTRA about retiring one of its pension plans that became costly and redundant. And we can also report that our remaining pension plan is now fully funded, a change from previous years when significant funds were owed to the plan. He also noted the timely reaction of Pacifica management to the unfortunate situation at KPFA where unpaid property taxes almost resulted in an auction of the KPFA building. Pacifica engaged a specialized law firm to restore the exemption from property taxes that Pacifica should have received all along. Pacifica filed the writ of mandate in response to this issue, and we have every reason to be optimistic that our action will result in a positive outcome, saving the foundation hundreds of thousands of dollars. He also noted the very efficient manner in which our management has been able to apply for and receive payment protection, paycheck protection program loans that are forgivable. We received the first round of a loan of $1,256,000. That was back in, I think, when was that? It was somewhere in the middle of last year. Anyway, it was fully forgiven in January of this year. And we have also successfully applied for and received a second round of the PPP, and we fully expect that will be fully forgiven as well. So that's been an enormous help, because as you know, Pacifica, like virtually every nonprofit, has been seriously hurt by the economic damage of the pandemic and the lockdowns. We've had to cancel numerous fund drives and all kinds of dislocations, and the revenue we received pretty much made up for that drop. And the other thing, of course, that we want to mention is that we are on track with the audits. We expect, I know Anita has promised us that the 2019 audit will be done by April 30th. And we fully expect that the 2020 audit will be completed by the end of June. And if that happens, that'll be a real game changer, because it'll mean not only that we can once more apply for and be eligible for the restoration of funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which at one time used to fund at least 10% of our operation. But we'll also be eligible for all kinds of grants and loans from which we are now excluded, since the first question asked whenever you request one of these things is, can you show us your financials? So we have to have up-to-date audits for that. Anyway, that's more, I mean, there's other things that are going to be in that press release, but that's kind of the gist of it. And I think it's all in all, it's good news. It's not, I don't want to belittle the fact that we still have some serious challenges ahead. We certainly do. But we are at least in much better shape than we were 2 years ago or even last year. So that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Alex, we don't have time in this section for questions, but and I know you had intended to get off. I'm wondering if we should move to extend, if anyone has any questions they'd like to ask. Would you be willing to stay for that, Alex?
Sure.
Is there any interest in the committee for extending? Would someone like to move to extend?
This is Sharon, and I'm here on the call now. And, yes, I would like to move to extend for, I don't know, 10 minutes for this time.
Okay. Let me just ask our guest, Mark Torres, if he's able to stay with us for the additional time that this will take. Is that good with you, Mark?
Sure.
Okay. I'm sure this is interesting to you as well. Okay, so we have a
James,
motion.
James, I have
to
a question.
For...
This is Chris Corey. I'm sorry.
Go ahead
with the motion. It's okay. Do the motion to extend.
Yeah.
I have a question, though.
Okay. We have a motion to extend for 10 minutes. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider ourselves extended for 10 minutes. It's and go ahead, Chris.
Yes, it's not a question for Alex. Well, it could be. Is Anita giving a report tonight?
She is.
Okay, I can ask my question during that session. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you have analysis on the financials, I'd appreciate it if you'd join with it at that point.
I do, and I had a comment about what you said in the opening. I think there's a factual discrepancy, but we can discuss it at that time. Thank you.
Very good. No worry. Okay. So let's go on then. Any questions for Alex?
This is Sharon. I have a question.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Maybe it won't take 10 minutes. I don't know. I just said 10 minutes. But my question is this. I was happy to hear that the writ of mandate had been filed in the KPFA property tax. So when exactly was that filed and where?
I don't have that information. That would be information that Lydia would have. I just know it was filed because she told me it was.
Okay, it would be nice if we were told that at KPFA because, of course, we're very anxious about that. So is Lydia on the call?
No, we don't think Lydia's with us. She may have joined. Well, Lydia, are you here? No, I don't think she is.
Okay, well, that
go
was
ahead, Sharon.
That
okay.
was my only question.
Any other questions? Did you have another question, Sharon?
No, that was my only question. I said 10 minutes might be too long. I wasn't sure if other people had other questions, so I just made the motion for 10 minutes. But that was my only question.
Good. You did it. It was adopted. So let's see if anybody else has any other question. Anyone else? Hearing none, perhaps we can just move on.
Okay, and thank you. Thank you, Finance Committee, for all the great work you've been doing.
Thank you, Alex, for making the time to come and join us.
Okay.
Much appreciated.
Okay, bye.
All right, goodbye. Thank you. So now we go to minutes approval. Paul, are there minutes?
Yes. Okay. Let me write that in there. Okay. I move to approve the minutes of the public session of the March 23rd, 2021 NFC meeting.
Is there any objection, discussion, corrections? Hearing none, that's done. As we know, we can always correct minutes later if something comes up. Any more, Paul?
No, we'll be having executive session minutes, but those are going to be next time we do an executive session, we'll get to those, or else before the current NFC evaporates, we'll do them.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, so now we can go on to what was the 5A? It was the meeting schedule for
the
next future meeting, Nate. Yes.
All right.
Paul?
Yeah, we do this. We have to do this every year. And this time we've had, you know, some late starts in the past couple of years. And usually we do 12 months at a time. I would say we should do 11 months this time, which will bring us up through March of 2022. So I'm going to make that particular motion. I move that we set the NFC meeting dates for the second and fourth Tuesday of every month through March 2022.
Is there any discussion? If no one else has anything to say, I'm going to add something, which is that it may seem onerous to some people that we meet twice a month, and I appreciate that, but, you know, we are trying to catch up and get our budgets process, you know, revitalized. And when we're done with these budgets, if we actually are able to get done with all of the budgets for our budgeted units for fiscal year 21, which we're already in the third quarter of, I believe, we then have to turn around immediately and start on the fiscal year 22 budgets. So I think the schedule that our poll has laid out is appropriate. We may even, who knows, we may even need a special meeting here or there in the interim. Any other comments? Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah. Actually, let me add, let me read what I have it written down here. I left out the time because somebody might object. That the NFC meet on the second and fourth Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time through March 2022. And I'll point out that that used to be the schedule we had for many, many years. And then one person made a motion that we only meet monthly, and wow, was that a mess. So, we've of the past 13 years, 12 of them have had that schedule. So, and I think they had a schedule like that before, too. So there it is.
I learn something new every day. Very good. And, Arpal, I assume that those dates are open and clear for us, and I applaud you for doing this in advance, because I know the competition for dates for meetings can become hectic later on.
Well, I don't know, but that's been our stuff through all these years, so as soon as the meeting's over, I'll start posting all of them.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Once again, your performance is excellent for this committee, has been for years. We appreciate it. Okay, so that brings us now then to item 7, which would be the review of the...
We passed that, right?
We did. Let's make sure. Is there any objection to the schedule, ARPAL schedule, for meetings through March 22? Hearing none, consider that done. Thank you, Arpal, again. And now I see we're on to number 7, and I have to apologize to Mark Torres. Instead of PRA, I've written PFA in the agenda. That's a typo. My apology. But we'll have a review of the Pacifica Radio Archives Fiscal Year 2021 Draft Budget. Again, Mark Torres presenting. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, James and Pacifica team. Again, thank you for every one of your efforts to bring Pacifica to a place of relative financial stability. It's been very difficult for all the units, the more stable we are, of course, the better we are. We're a legacy institution, and I've been the director of the Pacifica Radio Archive since 2015. For those of you who don't know me, before that, I was the operations director and senior producer since 1990, so I've been here now 31 years. It's hard to believe how time flies like that. I've seen a lot of changes here at Pacifica over that amount of time, but the one constant has been the legacy collection of the Pacifica Radio programs contained in the archives. In the early 2000s, Pacifica Radio Archives began digitizing portions of our collection with grants that would do from a couple of hundred to a couple of thousand tapes. And we do a lot of work in-house. We are one of the most highly trained units or archives in the country because of the training that we receive. And we've been able to digitize about 16,000 tapes out of the over 60,000 tapes that we have in our collection. We have about 50,000 tapes that still need to be digitized, and the Library of Congress has set a date of 2025 to have all of these tapes digitized before they are, it's economically unfeasible to afford to do the work. And we're also working against time for the tapes to be physically strong enough to withstand the transfer process. I was invited in 2017 to present at the Library of Congress as the director of one of the oldest archives in America for public radio. And at that presentation, I played one tape as an example of what we have in our collection, and that was our 1957 recording of Rosa Parks when she got out of jail for doing her bus boycott action. And it got a round of applause because it was so powerful. And the power of what one of our recordings can do is represented by that particular tape. They wanted to know, like, how accessible is this tape? How many people are actually listening to this tape? Or is it just rotting in a vault somewhere? And I was able to let them know that this particular recording is on the actual bus that she did the bus boycott action that is in the Ford Museum. And there's a famous picture of President Obama by himself sitting in that bus, thinking about how powerful an action it was for Rosa Parks not to give up her seat and to listen to her in her own words with Pacifica's audio tell the story. So my commitment is to make sure that these tapes aren't just sitting in a vault, but are digitized and available to audiences in our communities and all around the world. To that effort, I would like to say that since I became director, the Pacifica Radio Archives created a Voices of Pacifica thank you gift with 64 gigabytes worth of voices, which represents about 1,200 of our programs. And to date, we've raised a little over $5 million for the Pacifica, the five Pacifica stations and the national office and the archives. So we know that there's value to our collection. At this meeting at the Library of Congress in 2017, you know, I just needed to point out that, you know, NPR, which at times is the gold standard for public radio, didn't really even get its start until the early 1970s after that act was ratified and money started flowing and they started, you know, creating things like PBS and NPR. Well, Pacifica was around recording for over 20 years before that. And so our collection is unique and it's extremely valuable as an educational source and as potential revenue stream for Pacifica. So in our budget here, we have four people in our staff that do highly specific acts. We sometimes do more than one thing. We have to, you know, as a very small staff, we have to do a lot of things. But for a very small staff, we're very experienced. We're experts at everything that we do. Sean Dellis is our administrative officer, and he is the frontline person for taking phone calls and responding to inquiries about our collection. He keeps our financial files to the penny accounted for and sends out invoices for anything that goes in or out of the archives. Mariana Berkovich is our longest tenured employee. And she is our business manager, and she makes sure that all of our finances are accounted for to the penny each and every year. She helps me organize the budgets each and every year. She pays our bills. She handles all of our financial matters, from money coming in and money going out. Edgar Toledo is our production director. He is in charge of production for servicing the five Pacifica stations and our affiliates for thank you gifts and premiums. He is also an expert in tape transfer. And myself, even though I'm the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, I am also highly trained in doing this tape transfer myself. And I also am a professional radio producer. And so any original productions with our collections are done by myself. In this coming year, I am working on writing a grant for about $2 million that will help digitize the remainder of our 50,000 tapes in conjunction with a local university here in Los Angeles who will be doing the work under our supervision. And they will have the Masters of Library Science students do the data entry so that they are professionally connected with the metadata of each program. And the other major project that we are undertaking is creating a streaming website for our collection. For many years have been giving out cassettes and CDs and jump drives. We would like to change that to a streaming website so that our listeners and people who subscribe to our stations and others will be able to listen to our collection without actually having a physical copy. We've noticed that many of our tapes are all over the web on YouTube and other sources, and we need to, you know, quickly put an end to that and make sure that if people are listening to our audio, they're coming to Pacifica for that. We started an experiment in 2013 to see just how popular Pacifica recordings are. And we have to date, we started with about under 1,000 streams with a few hundred people listening in that first year. And currently we are listened to by over 350,000 people have listened to our audio collection that's on SoundCloud in over 130 countries. And so we know our material is valuable, and we are very much looking forward to having the remaining 50,000 programs digitized so we can get that audio out into the world as well. Our main revenue streams happen to be our fund drive, which everybody, if you have copies of our budget, you can take a look at line number 8. We have listener support, and
excuse me, this is Sharon.
Mark, I'm
going to
ask you to suspend for a moment. Just a moment, Sharon.
Yeah.
I'll get right to you. Anita, I'm going to ask you, can you send around the budget? We received it some days ago. Could you send it around so that everybody has it right in front of them currently? Are you able to do that, Anita?
Sorry, I was muted.
No worries. Okay. I know you're on vacation,
what?
But this is how we treat you.
When? I assure
when?
You, I am
when did this get posted? Mr. Chair, when did this get posted?
It was days ago.
Can you send the last meeting?
Yeah. Yeah, it went to the list. I sent it myself.
You sent it.
I sent it at one point. It also was sent by Mariana Berkovich from PRA. She sent it on April 8th at 10:07 p.m. 5 days ago.
April 8th.
Thank you for that date.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I should have given that to you.
All right.
was it sent to individuals or something?
That was sent to the NFC.
All right, NFC, I don't have anything from exactly then.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. No, you're right. It was sent to individuals, and I sent it later. I think I sent it later to the NFC. I'm sorry, I don't have that on this thread, but Anita's going to send it, so everybody will have it.
All right, so we'll get it now.
I apologize. And Sharon, you had a request for information. Was that along the lines of what you were asking?
Yeah, that was exactly it.
Okay. So hopefully that will come to us. I'm sorry, Mark, do you have anything else to say in general before you go to the specific lines?
Yeah, in general, I will say that that as we look at our budget that ends in September, it shows that we will actually be $34,000 in the surplus. But I just wanted to note that the National Finance Office, I'm not sure if it's NETA or if it's your team, they actually include revenue from the central services that we get from all five Pacifica stations. And I just wanted to note that the WBAI has not paid any central services money for fiscal year 2021, or very much for the last several years. WPFW, in the last few months, has sent us their central services money, but generally do not pay as well. But KPFA, KPFK, and KPFT always pay regularly, and they're up to date. If we take away the WBAI central services money, that will take away $25,000 from that $34,000 that were in the plus. So I just wanted to make note of that and just make aware to the finance team that being the repository of recorded audio for all of time, most archives for nonprofit institutions are fully funded from the units that make up the foundation, and you know, it's really important for us to be able to do our work as opposed to being a fundraising arm of Pacifica, although, you know, we understand that the opportunity and circumstances come up where we end up having to be a fundraising unit at times. I remember the day when we did our first national fund drive. It was 2002. Pacifica was in debt, I think about $5 million at that time. And the then executive director, Dan Coughlin, said, "Hey, Archives, is there anything you can do to help?" And I suggested, "Well, let us do a fund drive." And we raised that first year $275,000 in a day, which was incredible. And he's like, "That's the type of help we can use." And it was supposed to be a temporary thing, but we've been doing it now for almost 20 years. So we're very good at it, especially for a small team. Our fund drives are very successful for being one day. And we do it really with a four-person staff, which is really a testament to the professional nature of our staff and the experience and expertise of our staff. So I can't speak enough to the small unit that we are. We're very talented in the specific functions that we do. And I would just like to add in a general way that not only are we mostly self-sustaining, but we actually bring a lot of revenue to the stations that use us as a resource for their fund drives. So I think that's the basic gist of my general presentation, and when you're ready, I could address any specific lines that you may have in our budget.
I'm going to ask everyone, has everyone gotten this budget and is now have it in front of them?
This is Beth. I don't have it in front of me at the moment. If it could be reset, I'd appreciate it.
Anita, were you able to?
Yes.
Well, let me check that. If it's just been sent, let me check.
Okay.
I have it.
Fred has got it.
I truly have it.
Okay, good. I just want to make one comment before we go ahead, and that is to say to Mark, when I read that comment about WBAI in your report, I immediately contacted Bertolt Reimers to tell him that that was unacceptable, and as paltry as it is, I believe he sent you a payment virtually immediately, and so you have at least one. So
yeah, right.
look out for that, and I have a question about a way that we could possibly ameliorate that situation, and if I get a chance, I'll ask on this call, but if not, I'll ask you later.
I love it. Thank you.
Does everybody have the budget? We all have it now, I think. So
yeah.
Let's open it up for questions.
Well, wait a minute. Mr. Chair, wasn't the PRA director about to discuss the spreadsheet? We haven't discussed it yet. Might be good if we heard from him, and then we can have a question. Okay.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. That's correct. Mark, do you want to go ahead and discuss the spreadsheet, and then we'll follow along with you.
Okay. If we go to, let's see, we can go to line number 8. We have one fund drive a year. It's in November, and it's usually right after the fall fund drives of the stations. It's a precarious thing for us to fund drive in between all of the 5 station fund drives because a lot of times they happen every other month. And, you know, the audience is very taxed when it comes to fund drives. But the Pacifica Radio Archives fund drives, I think, are very unique in that they're not really meant designed to stress our audience for more fundraising. They're more designed to present the incredible legacy recordings that we have. And people love the recordings so much, they feel compelled to donate when we ask. So that, you know, this particular November was very difficult because we were in the middle of our COVID protocols. And I, for the first time in these 20 or 19 years that we've been doing this fundraising, I pre-produced a lot of the hours ahead of time. And a few of the hours we had live guests, like maybe 3 out of the 15 hours were live, or 3 or 4 at the most. And those hours did very well, but we did very well with our pre-produced fundraising hours to raise, you know, on average about $5,000, $4,000 to $5,000 an hour, and which is incredible. So we were thinking that maybe we would raise $30,000 in this day. It's not even a day, it's less than 24 hours, it's 15 hours. But, you know, somehow we pulled off raising close to $70,000, and you know, that was incredible. So our one fundraiser is the revenue stream that really powers us through the first part of the year while we're busy doing our other work and other revenue streams are coming in. The other revenue streams include sales to audiences. And that is designated on line 17 for the entire year. That turns out to be $50,000. Our premiums to the stations, this one is, you know, this one goes up and down This one goes out to the five Pacifica stations. I will say that KPFK probably uses our premiums or our audio the most as thank you gifts. So their line item is probably a majority of the $15,000 that we see in line 16 is mostly from KPFK. Of course, during the, during these COVID protocols, it's been a very difficult since the staff is not in the office physically for most of the week. We only go in when we have to. And we set up Sean to work remotely so he can do his invoicing from home. Now I have one vaccine shot. Mariana's fully vaccinated and Sean and Edgar will be getting their first shots soon now that it's opened up to everybody. So hopefully we can get back to a more regular office hours. But and same with the stations, almost nobody's there at KPFK. So under normal circumstances, we'd have program directors, station directors, senior producers, and programmers just walk into the office and say, what do you got for me that'll work for me? And, we can get them some thank you gifts. So this year has been odd. And so that line item has been a little lower than normal as a revenue stream. Our major expenses, so the total revenue that we make for generating revenue ourselves is shown on line 22, and that's $181,000. Going into the expenses, our major expenses are personnel costs, which you will see we have $22,000 a month, which I think by unit costs, that's probably pretty low. $266,000 for the year. Our other major expenses are off-site storage for our off-site tapes, which total somewhere around 20 to 30,000 of these tapes that are in our collection are off-site. When we get this grant to digitize our collection, we'll be inventorying the off-site tapes, and once they're digitized and stored on servers, we'll probably be able to have a better solution for storing these tapes somewhere else, which could be at a university. It could be. I have a few ideas about where to store them once we have the digital copies, and they're not only available to us, but they're mirrored on servers around the country and possibly on different continents because, we never know what will happen in one location. So $266,000 is our major expense with salaries on line 24. The administrative expenses, which is, general office expenses from postage to supplies and offsite storage totals $38,000. There's other minor expenses. The total for our expenses for operating costs is $317,000. And then you see the lines for the central services, which I believe is I'll have to check on what the latest percentage is, but it's less than 2%. It's probably closer to 1%. And the revenue from the central services of the five stations is $170,000. So if you look at line number 41, to the end of this fiscal year, we'll be in the plus $34,000. But again, we haven't seen any money from WBAI and only 2 months from WPFW. Now the reason for this, I would like to tell this team, is that since I became the director, I did not want to stress the stations because of their central services obligations to us. Now, of course, it would make our lives much easier if they paid. But on the other hand, in these most recent years, Pacifica has been faced with extreme financial concerns, especially because of the original Empire State contract with the WBAI. So while we were under financial duress figuring out how to pay for that, I did not want to add further stress to each individual station's finances by demanding that money. I came up with other ways to raise money to make up for that, but of course, the central services money is hugely important, especially now. And if we can get, you know, figure out a path to having WBAI and WPFW pay regularly, that will relieve a lot of stress for us. If you go down a little bit further, there's a further breakdown of, starting at line 43, salaries and related expenses. You can see our gross salaries, our payroll taxes, our pension contributions, our matching contributions, and health care that make up the full $266,000. And then if you go down a little bit further, you will see some of our administrative expenses, which explain how much it costs to store our tapes, for example, our internet connection, our postage, our website maintenance. Those are all listed in lines 72 on down to lines 103. And the major expense being storage rental, line 96, which turns out to be $27,000 for the year. We just do not have the space in our archive to keep our tapes on site, cataloged properly under temperature and humidity control. So we go to off-site storage that are temperature controlled. And you know, that's one area, once we get our collection digitized, that we may be able to save on down the road. So that's the general blueprint of our budget. And we've made our budget every single year that I've been the director since 2015. We've come out a little bit ahead each year. But you know, we're happy to say that for fiscal year 2021, we're scheduled to be in the plus. And I'd be happy to take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mark.
Teresa for the stack.
Let me see if there's anybody else. Anyone else like to get on the stack?
This is Anita. I just had a comment. Whenever.
Okay, Anita. We'll put you after Teresa. Anyone else?
Lyndon for the stack.
Okay, I heard our Paul. Lyndon.
Sharon.
Sharon. I'm going to put myself on. Anyone else? Okay, let's start with that. So, Teresa.
Okay. Your car donations. I see that in 2020 you've made $11,000 in car donations. How do you advertise to your, say, followers that you want car donations? Is that on the archives website?
Yeah, it's on the archives website, and we usually get a bunch of car donations during our fund drive because we direct a lot of traffic. That's the one time where we have access to the airwaves. And so we're able to bring people to our website, and that can generate donations. But usually, I know at KPFK, and I think the other stations have their own car donations.
Yes.
So it's,
do you use the same car donation company is as the okay, fine.
Yeah.
Because I think KPFK uses a different one than all the other stations. Next question. You say a lot of people walk in to your office at KPFK and ask what you have. Who are you dealing with the other stations that want the orders? Is it the program directors that you're dealing with?
It's usually, yes, it varies for each station, but Laura Privis is usually one of the main persons. Katia Stitt at WPFW. They're usually either the program director or a development director that contacts me from each station,
okay.
but not the individual programmers.
Okay.
Usually.
Great. Next question.
Teresa, before you go on with a list of questions, I think the proper thing to do would be we'll give everybody a couple of bites at the apple and then go around and put you back on at the other end. Is that okay?